This meeting is now being recorded.
You can go ahead and get started, Justice Quare. Thank you.
Okay, thank you everybody for joining us. I really appreciate your making the time today. This is a pretty important meeting. I hope everyone is well and that the holidays ahead provide a nice respite from all the day-to-day bustle. So I want to remind you that today's meeting is an open meeting and it's being recorded. Please remember to say your name before speaking so we can recognize you and place your phone on mute to minimize background noise when you're not speaking. And please don't put us on hold if this function triggers music or pre-recorded messages. That would be bad. And we also welcome anyone from the public who is listening and joining us today. While this meeting is scheduled for 1 hour, I hope that you will share my enthusiasm if I tell you that the agenda and substance, although it's important, may not take the full hour. If it does take the full hour, that's fine, but if not, then I'm sure that that will be fine for most folks on the call. So now I want to turn it over to Elizabeth to do roll call, and then we will approve the minutes, and after that, we will get to some updates and then to the main event.
Thank you, Justice Quare. Judge Covarrubias.
Yes, I'm here.
Naomi Adelson.
Hi, this is Yvette Kenya, and I'm here with Judge Court.
Thank you, Yvette. Again, Naomi Adelson. Judge Austin.
I'm here.
Kevin Baker.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Angie Birchfield.
Present.
Justice Berniers.
Here.
Tracy Clark.
Present.
Judge Conklin.
Yes, I'm present. Thank you.
Judge Court.
I'm here.
And Judge Gard is not able to join us. Anna Maria Garcia. Unable to join us. Judge Hayashi.
Here.
Janet Hudak.
Here.
Joanne Lee.
Here.
Yvette Pena.
Here.
Justice Pena.
Here.
Justice Renner.
Here.
Mike Roddy. Judge Rodriguez. And Dr. Valdez is unable to join us. Jose Varela.
Present.
Judge Walsh.
I'm here.
David Yamasaki.
I'm here.
Who just joined? Justice Elon. Okay. We have a quorum, Justice Quare.
That's always good news. So now let me turn to the weighty matter of approving the minutes from our last meeting from October 2018. The draft minutes are included in the meeting materials that were sent out last week. Hopefully you did not find anything amiss. Does anybody have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from our last meeting?
John Conklin moved to approve.
Thank you. Any second?
Second.
Who is the second? Is that Steve Austin?
Dennis Hayashi.
Oh, Dennis Hayashi, thank you very much. Okay, so I was in the same general geographic area, but that's always good to be exact. Thank you. Okay, so all those in favor of approving the minutes, if there's no further discussion, please say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? All right. The meeting minutes carry, which is always good news.
Justice Clare, yes. One abstention, I was not present, so I am abstaining.
Thank you, David.
David Yamasaki.
Gotcha. All right, so I want to spend the bulk of our time discussing the task force's transition plans, but let me make a few announcements first to give you a sense of all that is going on with the task force. So first of all, with respect to our all-important relations with the Judicial Council of California, I am scheduled to give an update to the council on our progress implementing the Language Access Plan in January 2019. To date, we have just under 40 of the recommendations, 39 of the 75 recommendations completed, and we've made really big strides in education, funding, technology, rules, form changes, civil expansion, and the Language Access Toolkit. What I want to get across to the council when I speak to them is something you all know, but that, you know, can sometimes get lost in the numbers, which is, although it's 39 out of 75, not all recommendations are created equal, And we have been intensely focused on the ones that are among the most difficult, involving things like Sybil expansion and VRI. So qualitatively speaking, I think it's really stark and meaningful what we've gotten done. It's been an effort that has been focused. It's benefited tremendously from all the good, dedicated support from our trial court partners. And I especially want to thank all our task force members and staff who have been working so diligently to getting this done. So I'm really excited about what I'm going to report in January. And that is not all, because we are continuing to do our best effort possible to survey what is happening with respect to language access across the state. The staff recently circulated the most recent language access survey summary report. It's really full of great information about language access services and needs across the state. It shows ongoing progress by the courts, including on civil expansion. And, of course, part of the reason we do this is to identify areas for improvement. So we've got some of those, and we will be in touch about some of those areas for improvement in the days to come. I will say that one of the most gratifying things for me in working with staff in the last few weeks, months really, the last 2 months, is that we've been able to expand the staff a little bit to add some capacity around data. And so we have now a full-time person just working on language access data. We are trying our best to really lay the foundation for this whole process of reporting to not depend on surveys that we send out all the time. And I've had some helpful conversations with a number of people on the task force, and we've been in touch with LA in particular, which is crucial in this regard, but we're making good progress there too. On VRI and funding, let me turn to Douglas so that he can give you an update on what's happening with both VRI and funding.
Thank you, Justice Cuellar. Hi, everyone. So with VRI, we had a meeting this past Friday, December 14th, with the VRI work stream that was led by Judge Jessner and Justice Berniers. They are the VRI co-executive sponsors for the work stream. It was a good meeting. We went over the draft VRI report for the council, the evaluation findings from the pilot, and the revised recommended VRI guidelines, which now include recommended minimum technology requirements for VRI. We're also planning to share the draft report with the Technological Solutions Subcommittee this month for their input and feedback. And then we're hoping that the draft VRI report and its attachments will go to the task force for their review and approval sometime in January, probably the first couple of weeks of January, we're hoping. And then the report will also need to be approved by related technology advisory committees, so it'll go to ITAC and JCTC in early 2019, probably January, February timeframe. And then we're hoping to present the VRI report to the council in March of next year. And then on funding, the 2018 budget included on an ongoing basis each year $1 million for signage for trial courts and also $1.35 million for courts' non-VRI technology needs. We're working to disperse this money to trial courts in the current fiscal year as a grant program, and we mentioned this to the language access reps last week, that we're hoping to get out information soon on the grant program, but the goal is to disperse this money in the current fiscal year and then do so on an ongoing basis. But that is much needed funding for those items, so we want to work to make sure that we disperse it on a regular basis. We're also hoping to hear good news. The governor's proposed budget, I believe, comes out January 10th. So we'll find out if the items that we put in for funding were tentatively approved in the governor's budget, but we'll keep everyone posted what news is once we hear about the proposed budget. So are there any questions on VRI or funding? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Doug. And I just want to underscore that we are watching very carefully the process of how the 2019-2020 budget comes together. We have a couple of apps that are all important to the task force, but the one perhaps we are looking at with greatest interest is the funds that we need to continue to sustain and support all the good work that our interpreters do across the state. This is really key because, as most of you know, our efforts to expand access to interpreters in civil proceedings have been crucial and taken up by our trial court partners, but now we've got to make sure that the foundation of support is there for that to be sustained and not to have any pullback of any kind. So we're working hard on that and keeping our fingers crossed, and we'll keep you posted. Speaking of good news, we also have some good news to report on Rule 1.300. I want to ask Justice Zeland or Judge Rodriguez if they're on to maybe share that, and if they're not able to be on, then I will address this. Do we have Justice Zeland, Judge Rodriguez? Okay, well, so the basic story is that we've been working on Rule 1.300 for months, and trying to thread the needle to make sure that we are able to make this practical and implementable at the trial court level, but still something useful in avoiding as much as legally possible the situation of having individuals who are forced to participate in programs that they don't have the language skills for. And I'm really pleased to report that on December 10th, RuPro approved Rule 1.300 as we've drafted it to go out for public comment. So it's now circulating for public comment until February 12, 2019. Feel free to chime in. This is the basically the rule that we developed here at the task force through the advisory committee and was reviewed by Providing Access and Fairness, the advisory committee. And our hope is that this will get approved in much the same form that we have circulated, and we're going to continue to monitor this and to weigh in as needed. So before I talk about transition, let me pause here and see if there's any question about anything that we've covered so far.
Can you hear me, Justice Cuellar?
I can hear you. Who is this?
This is Lori Zeland. I was trying to get on before my mute button was stuck.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I hope that's not a metaphor for anything involving the task force. We're glad to hear you. Do you want to add anything on? Yeah?
I just wanted to thank you for your report on the rule and tell everyone how grateful our subcommittee was for the help that everybody gave us in getting there. And now we have to get through the hard part, which is the comment period.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Justice Zeland, for all your efforts and Judge Rodriguez, and we will very much appreciate your continued engagement with this. Any other questions or comments? Okay. So, for many months now, the elephant in the room, as we talk about the work of the task force, has been what happens after the task force sunsets. The reality is we never designed task forces to last forever. We don't want that. I'm happy that we have been so busy in the time we've been functioning, but I always expected the task force would wind down its work around spring of 2019, and that's the plan. So in the background, several of us have been working really hard, and staff have been working with us, to design a plan that could command support, hopefully, among any number of stakeholders who matter in our system. And I am really happy to report that we have a good plan that has emerged. And I want to, in the minutes that follow, I want to share to you the plan, explain a little bit the background and context, and then take any questions, and then hopefully at the end, we can vote to see if this is something that when I present it to the Judicial Council in January 2019, we could also say it has the support of the task force. So as you know, our work has allowed us to address a whole bunch of different recommendations and make good progress on everything from civil expansion to data collection to translation, implementation of Rule 1.300, knock on wood, multilingual videos for outreach, interpreter issues. But we have a bunch of work that remains to be done, and frankly, a lot of the work that we have done requires maintenance, support, continued funding, and that led me to initiate conversations with people and in consultation with the Chief Justice and with Director Martin Foschino. We have determined that the best way to move forward is to create a brand new structure, a language access subcommittee that would fit under the existing advisory committee on providing access and fairness. Now, we went back and forth about a bunch of different possibilities, but this one struck us as the most sensible For starters, because we do already have a committee on providing access and fairness, and its responsibility includes language access issues. Also, we have some terrific leadership on that committee. Justice Zeilan is currently the co-chair. And the incoming co-chair is also terrific, Kevin Brazil. And so we have them and several other folks who are in and around that that committee who are quite well-versed in language access issues and have been good advocates for our work. So the idea would be for this subcommittee to help ensure that all the remaining recommendations that we have are fully implemented after we sunset. And even more important than that, that the what I would consider our overarching goal, which is access to justice for all court users, irrespective of limited English proficiency, that that goal is maintained as a core goal for the branch. I don't expect that we will be missing any allies in principle in that task. A lot of people, I think, want to support that. But as you all know, the hard part isn't just can we find people who say this is a good idea in principle to provide language access, but instead it's the combination of that goodwill with the day-in, day-out work of the budget stuff and the technology stuff and, you know, keeping track of interpreter issues and coordination with CIAP and so on. And all that requires some focus, some people who are going to be accountable and thoughtful in doing that. And that's why ultimately this subcommittee would be a really big step forward as we transition and wind down the work of the task force. I do want to stress a couple of things before I open it up for questions and comments. First is it is the more I dug into the history of how task forces have done their work and handed off their functions when they end, the more it was clear to me that normally what happens with the Judicial Council is that you wind down a task force and you do not create a new committee to hand functions off. But I am especially appreciative of the Chief Justice who understood why in language access this would make sense, and Martin as well, that when we're at such a delicate moment that we don't want to lose momentum, there are all these responsibilities to implement, there's a big budget component to it, a big technology component, that almost everything in the judiciary is touched by this in some way. It just made more sense to have an actual standing body that would continue to work on this. Now, second, leadership and efficacy depends in part on the right people. So I'm working with the Chief Justice, with Justice Zeilan in her capacity as co-chair of PASS and Judicial Council leadership on identifying members for the new subcommittee, and we hope that membership will include some folks who have been involved in the task force to ensure continuity and expertise. In addition, we are working with the Judicial Council on appropriate staffing and duties for the new subcommittee. To be honest, I've always recognized that everything we get done is a partnership with our staff, and they're indispensable and they're part of our team. So I wouldn't want to support anything that doesn't recognize that. Third, I want to recognize that there is already a very important advisory panel dealing with interpreter issues, which are an important piece of the larger language access puzzle. So this the Court Interpreters Advisory Panel, CIAP, is really crucial in dealing with all the interpreter-specific issues and promoting use of interpreters, working on interpreter management and policy issues. So I think of CIAP as really an indispensable partner for this subcommittee. So part of what we will work on is to have CIAP have a liaison that can work with the new subcommittee to deal with language access policy issues that implicate interpreters. And what we're going to do as needed, furthermore, is to basically have this subcommittee that is new coordinate language access efforts across the branch with other advisory bodies and staff. So the Access and Fairness Committee will report to the Council on LAP implementation progress, and the subcommittee will be shaping that work and those reports. And we have some really critical staff that are going to be able to help us on this. I also can imagine that we are going to be having quite a big hand, we meaning this new subcommittee, not necessarily me personally, in the technology stuff, which has been so crucial to our work in the last couple of months and years. So I want to present to the Council this recommendation, and ideally it would be the perfect way of wrapping up my report on progress, because my main message to the Council is going to be all this progress, if you feel good about it, if it's exciting, if you want to recognize all the partners we've had in getting this done, we need some continuity, and we need to make sure we don't lose momentum. So that's where we are. Let me pause there and see if there are any questions or comments.
Justice Cuellar, this is Brian Walsh.
Yep.
I think that's – I'm not a big fan of creating new committees, but I think your idea is excellent. All this wonderful progress you and the folks on this committee have made with interpreter access and improvements to interpreters wouldn't have happened without the focus you brought to it. And you've been rolling that – pushing that rock uphill, and I think if we take our eye off the ball, it's just going to roll back down the hill and some other issue of the day will become a priority. So I think this is – having that subcommittee with committee people on it will keep this fine work going forward, and I think it's crucial and a great idea.
Thank you, Judge Walsh. Much appreciated.
This is Judge Covarrubias, and I agree, Justice Cuellar. I think it really embeds the language access as a core function not only of our courts but the judicial council, of having a group of individuals be focused with continuing to progress. The last report we received from staff, I just really show how much work has been done, and it would be easy for people to be misled that the work is done and we don't have more work to do. And so having those individuals who have been involved with it for some time and continue with access and fairness to go forward, I think it's a great place for it to be. And again, because it continues a core function from the judicial counsel's part, which then they'll trickle down, continue on, I think, with all our trial courts who have really brought on. Some work has been done with so much work together in a collaborative effort. I think allows us to continue doing that.
Thank you. One of my goals has been to make sure that in all this good news we'll convey to the council, we not have the message get lost that this is delicate stuff and it needs to continue. So I appreciate that comment.
This is Naomi Adelson.
Naomi,
I have
please
a
go
question.
Ahead. Sure.
Well, I would like to know who that subcommittee is open to, because I'm hearing you say that CIOP is about interpreters. I would hope we would have an interpreter on the language access subcommittee, even though I know there are some interpreters on the CIOP. But I also have heard recently about a work stream that was created out of the budget committee to work on the Interpreter Act.
Mm-hmm.
And that a number of interpreters were apparently placed on that work stream. And I never heard about that work stream, was never invited to talk about it. I know that we tried to be on that committee, Janet Hudek and I, as interpreters, and we were not allowed. And so how do we get on that work stream?
Thank you for the question. Let me address first the new subcommittee. As I envision it, certainly I think it would be really crucial for interpreters to be quite engaged. And we can work with PATH ultimately to see what the right way of engaging interpreters is, but I would imagine that it makes perfect sense to have, you know, interpreters involved, in part because, as you say, I don't know of any way to do language access without getting into interpreter issues. The line is a little bit blurry. I'm just very keen to make sure that in doing that, we respect the fact that there is a structure already in place that creates CIOP and that gives CIOP certain functions. But that, to me, is all the more reason to have interpreters included in some capacity. And as far as the workstream, I don't know that it's a workstream, but I do know that there was a kind of an informal group to discussing some Interpreter Act issues, and that kind of came bottom up a little bit. I wonder if maybe Doug can say a quick word or two about where that might be. I would just say this much. I wouldn't make too much of the work there only in the following sense. I think that was just an effort to start a conversation about those issues, and I would imagine that that will continue for some time. I don't think there's any sort of imminent proposal of any kind. So, Doug, is there anything else to add on that front?
Yeah, so it wasn't a work stream. It was a working group that was led by Judge Austin and Kim Turner, and they followed, there's a recommendation in the Language Access Plan, I think it's number 74, to conduct an evaluation of the Interpreter Act and any negative impacts on language access. The group met, I think, maybe five or so times and worked to prepare just a preliminary evaluation for Justice Cuellar with their thoughts and findings. But it's not at this juncture continuing. I think that's perhaps an area that will be need to be decided later is if that group would continue its efforts. But that's the genesis of that group. And then, Judge Austin, do you want to just talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, it seemed like we met more than five. It was very for a very short period of time. And it was we drew the members purposely with people that were very active in CFI and the interpreter community as well as independent interpreters. And there were one at least on the group and managers. And it was really one of the most fulfilling kind of things I've done in a long time, getting a group together that doesn't traditionally see eye to eye on things and having all of us express things in a way that was really cooperative. And it was good. Janet was on the group. And we're preparing together, I think, at some point in time before our group sunsets, we should be able to present kind of our thoughts on how things sort of went with the group. Didn't end up coming up with any full real recommendations or changes. It was more like a beginning issue identification kind of type of thing, where figuring out places where there's common ground that we might be able to do better. So still a work in progress.
Okay. I understand it's an ongoing process. I'm just saying the fact that interpreters around the state are having the act that creates their jobs be talked about and we're not even told about this, that's the part that's a little alarming to me.
Oh, well, I had assumed that because people that are very active in CFI, the politics of it, were part of the group, that had been communicated.
But thank you, Judge Austin, and everybody who's been part of that conversation. I just want to second the main point, which is this really came out just as a language access plan, and it's very preliminary, and I would look forward to anything further about this being vetted carefully and a discussion that is inclusive going forward. I think I heard somebody else wanted to get another conversation.
Yeah, this is Lori Zilon again. I wanted to put in a plug for how wonderful the Committee on Providing Access and Fairness is. In terms of, we're a fun group, and I hope that people will, when the time comes and however the process goes, will express an interest in coming on the subcommittee and joining the work of the committee. There are already people on PATH who are very interested in language, but this particular group has developed so much expertise in recent years that I think with this wonderful move forward that I hope people will express interest in continuing to do the work there.
Thank you, Justice Zilon. Any other comments or questions at this point?
If I could just say, too, I think it's a great home. I know we had kind of explored other places for where to go going forward. It's really nice to be in that advisory committee because of the fact that they have like-minded feelings, I think, about the importance of access and the importance of continuing on this mission. So it'll be very supported, which I think is a great thing.
Terrific. So as I mentioned before, I'm keen to ideally go to the council and to be able to say that the task force supports this. So I want to pause here to see if anybody wants to make a motion that the task force support the new proposed language access subcommittee structure that would put this new subcommittee under PATH after the task force sunsets on March 1st, 2019.
So moved.
Rodriguez, so moved.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
This is Elon. Second.
Okay. Thank you. I heard two movements and 2 seconds. Whoever's taking notes, do we have an indication of who did the move?
I believe I heard Judge Austin. Is that correct? And then second by Justice Elon.
Great. That works. Okay. Any further?
It wasn't me, but I'll take credit.
Okay.
Judge Austin.
Terrific. Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. The motion is approved. And I'm really grateful to everybody for your support and all the energy that it's taken to get us to this point. Well, we're about to conclude our work for today, but I do want to announce one last bit, which is because Justice Berniers is leaving the court, he is stepping down from his service as the chair of the Technological Solutions Subcommittee. Now, we don't have, you know, that much more time to operate as a task force, but the technology issues are really crucial. We continue to be very keen to make sure that we get it right in terms of reporting on what, you know, the VRI pilot program was like, as well as other ways that technology can help us improve access to justice. So I want to both thank Justice Berniers for his service, wish him well in his retirement, but also announce that I have identified somebody who I think would be great for the role of chair, and this person has kindly agreed to serve in that capacity until March, and that person is David Yamasaki. So I'm really grateful to David for his willingness to serve in this capacity, and I look forward to working with him and with staff in this role. And with that, I will thank you again and tell you that we will most likely have a task force phone call meeting in January 2019 to approve the draft VRI report for the Judicial Council's review and approval at its March meeting, along with any other outstanding task force items for approval. I'm going to be in close contact with the subcommittee chairs to make sure that we are doing everything possible to make sure that we take advantage of the time this task force is working. So thank you, and very happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Well, happy holidays.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you, and goodbye.